To those that are new to retail, it's very easy to sell a product at a loss. You know, you put your marketing out and you put it in a very aggressive way and you can sell a lot of items. But if you don't make any money or you don't come up with the right net profit position at the back end of it, I don't know how long you're going to last.
It's the E-commerce Master Plan Podcast, here to help you solve your marketing problems and grow your e-commerce business. Cutting through the hype to bring you inspiration and advice from the e-commerce sector and beyond. Here's your host, Chloe Thomas.
Hello and welcome. It's great to have you here. Thank you for hitting play and choosing to listen to one of our inspiring guests. Now, I quite often start an episode with one of these and I'm doing it again because me and the team get so much joy. We love it when we see you guys raving about us on social or in lists or on blogs. So we like to repay that by giving you a shout out. Today, it's the turn of Sophie Lizette Easthope. Hello, Sophie. Sophie said on one of our episodes on Spotify, love this episode, exclamation mark, heart eyes emoji. So huge thank you for that. And that's one of those little comments you can give us on Spotify per episode. We love it when you do that too. So thank you very much, Sophie, for doing that. And most importantly, thank you for listening. In this episode, I get to catch up with someone I did a panel with back in the summer. Back in the summer, I was lucky enough to be asked to be a part of the onstage team at eTail London. And that's where I met this episode's guest. They run, well, they're one of the people running a brilliant homewares business that's focused on the sustainability products that we all use in our homes and how we can get brilliant products that reduce our use of plastic and our carbon footprint and all those kind of good things. And he is joining us to share some of his genius, including lots of good advice around your approach to marketing, your approach to channels, how you manage your products. And make sure you listen to the end because his top tips are really rather good. And you'll also get my own take on this episode if you listen to the end too. Want to understand what the best in the business are doing with their digital marketing? Of course you do. Well, you're in luck. The results-obsessed team at Genie Goals have pulled together a complete guide to the most innovative, market-leading and impact-driving home and garden campaigns of the last 12 months. Want a copy of their Home Goals ebook? Want a copy of the Home Goals ebook for free without even having to fill in a form? Of course you do. Head to ecmp.info/homegoals to get it right now. Genie Goals and the experts they've collaborated with to create Home Goals have decades of strategic industry insight and technical skills for e-commerce success that you really should be dipping into. Get your copy now so you can start the year strong and compete with the best in the biz. Download the Home Goals ebook today via ecmp.info/homegoals. That's ecmp.info/homegoals, all one word. Have you yet downloaded our ebook? To celebrate reaching episode 500, we've created an epic e-commerce success-focused ebook for you, packed with 500 top tips about how to make your e-commerce store more profitable. Featuring the advice of many, many past guests alongside industry experts and many of you as well, our listeners. I've checked every single tip and organize the whole thing into sections for you, making it super easy to dip in and dip out and take inspiration as and when you need it. This ebook needs to be sat on your desktop or even printed and sat on your desk. Download your free copy right now at ecmp.info/ebook. Get 2024's most valuable e-commerce ebook now, ecmp.info/ebook. And now to introduce our special guest. Warren Jonas is the CEO and co-founder at Wild and Stone, sellers of eco-friendly household products. Founded in 2018, the range now includes over 100 eco-friendly products, which they sell via their Shopify store and 1,000 wholesale partners. Sales are now over £1 million a year. Hello, Warren.
Hello, Chloe. It's lovely to see you. Thank you for inviting me onto your show today.
Great to have you here. How did you get into this world of e-commerce?
So really, I got involved with my wife's idea because we were brushing our kids' teeth And we were feeling like we were introducing plastic into the world with our kids. So we're holding plastic toothbrushes and just wondering why we continue to do that. And so my wife was like, look, we the problem, like how do we solve this? And so she was like, look, I'm going to go and go find out how to make some better eco toothbrushes. So that was the idea conception where Wild & Stone started. I'm quite an entrepreneur in my background. So I said, cool, I'll help you. You go see if you can find the products. I'll help you with regards to launching it. She went off and found some bamboo toothbrushes and Wild & Stone was born.
So all from the humble toothbrush, and now you've got over 100 products in lots of different categories. So how did the product set expand quite so much?
Well, the initial start, we really spent a lot of time looking at what was Wild & Stone about. And so our vision is to make products that are eco-lux, but actually that help make the planet a better and healthier planet. So that was our vision as a company. And then our mission was to create as many products to remove single-use plastic from the home. So it started off with toothbrushes, but what we wanted to do is keep making it really easy for people to make sustainable item choices in their home. We feel we eco-lux because we use the best sustainable products out there, but we also make our products really lovely to use. And so we felt that would be really easy for people to accept and introduce into their homes.
So it's really about that ease for the customer and the fact the product is as good or potentially better than you get with the single-use disposable plastic stuff.
Yeah, and there's a bit of a good, better, best, and I'll give you an example. Like our toothbrushes still have plastic bristles. And in an ideal world, you'd make them from a material that was more eco-friendly, you know, but there's not many alternatives out there. It's horsehair and pig hair, and that isn't something that we feel would be consumable. And so we've removed at least 90% of the plastic on the product, and we're still looking at ways to go even further. But it really is about, it's a better version than what's out there today, and then we're trying to make the best version. And that's sort of where our product team really focus on looking at every single way to help be more eco-friendly.
And delivering, 100 new products in 6 years? That's quite serious. So how do you manage to develop that many products successfully in that shorter time period?
So the lovely thing is that a lot of our consumers are mums, and there's four founders and two mums as part of that founder group. And so really we're looking inwards on ourselves. We have three kids. And so how do we look at the household and determine what people are buying on a daily basis? And so I mentioned my wife, she's the product leader within the company. And so what she's doing is saying, okay, how do I stop myself using plastic? And where do I go find these goods? And so that's been her role since she started and is still today. She's CVO, so Chief Visionary Officer, but that includes brand and product. And really, we went out to our first raise on Cedars. And with that raise, what we wanted to do is expand our portfolio. And so, yeah, it has been complex. You know, we're adding 20 to 30 new products per year at least. We've stabilized that sort of at that 100 mark now. But it's also been lovely, you know, to make a product and see it in your hands and physically sell it to someone is an amazing thing. So that's definitely a big part of our business is do that. But the reason we've done that is we want to try and make as much impact to sustainability as possible. And therefore, you know, all the products all compound and all help people.
Got you. So let's tick off some of the kind of the key stats about the business, the key info about the business, so everybody knows a bit more about you. Where in the world are you guys based and where in the world are you selling to?
So we're based in the UK. Our primary market is the UK. And that's where we started. We did start as an Amazon store. We then also launched onto Shopify. We then expanded into Europe through Amazon FBA. And then we also launched into American. So that was sort of a big part of us being sort of, let's call it direct and through marketplaces. But I'm a massive fan of looking at new ways to go to market. And so we added new channels, you know, like Etsy stores and eBay stores and Walmart stores. So we looked at how to get into new marketplaces. And then we launched into wholesale as well as distribution. So my view is really focused on how do we expand the business channels to give us as much diversity, allow us to reach as many people as possible, and find new ways of revenue sources. So we are very diverse in our sales channel, and I find that a really intriguing way to see where we can increase revenue and net profit at the same time.
Got you. And have you turned off any channels during? Because it's almost like you're testing everything. So has anything been to the point where you've gone, yeah, the time is over for that one, let's move on?
It's a great question. Look, I've turned two off that I think is quite interesting. I couldn't get eBay to work. It didn't really feel like our marketplace. I didn't really enjoy the way that it worked. And I turned off Walmart. So I launched on Walmart as one of the beta customers in the US, and I turned them off as well. I couldn't get the marketing ACoS to be at the right level, and their automation systems were pretty poor. So I've done those two. We've turned off a lot of wholesalers, so little wholesalers who were trying to, you know, integrate with our back end. And there's a point that I think is really important is if you can't automate it or you have to do it manually, I don't really want that sort of client or customer to come through. And so anything that is a manual intervention for my team, I often will stop it from coming through.
I totally agree with that. If you're trying to expand a wholesale channel, especially, you do not want, especially not a smaller customer being sending you faxes or whatever else, you know, they're trying to do. Going back to the Walmart one, though, so that was, from how you explained it, it sounds like that was as much about profitability as it was about systems. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, look, I think, especially in retail, we have to be really smart on where we're making money. To those that are new to retail, it's very easy to sell a product at a loss, right? You know, you put your marketing out and you put it in a very aggressive way and you can sell a lot of items. But if you don't make any money or you don't come up with the right net profit position at the back end of it, I don't know how long you're going to last. So that principle is really important for us as a business, is that we're extremely self-sufficient. We don't need to raise any more finance. And so we're optimizing our channels constantly to say, where do we make the most bang for buck? And really end up with that net profit that we're after to ensure that we, you know, make money.
So managing all those products and all those channels, I'm guessing there's more than you and the rest of the founders involved. So what does your team look like, and have you chosen to outsource anything?
You know what? We are a really small group. There are four primary founders and one additional freelancer who we put on as a, we call him as a paid employee. You know, he's part of the team, has been around since the start, and he really is a creative genius. Helps us with our brand and our website. So that's really our core group. And then we use a lot of agencies and freelancers to cover some of that skill set gap that we may not have in-house. For example, agencies that help us with our email marketing, an agency that helps us with our social media advertising. And then I'm a massive fan of using AI and machine learning and tools. So I use a lot of systems that help us with ad optimization on platforms like Amazon and Google. And then also affiliate platforms and stuff like that. So we use a lot of systems and tools and software out there. My background is actually from mergers and acquisition. So that's what I did for about 8 to 10 years. And so understanding how to automate everything is really important to me. I don't want us to be involved too much in the daily machine. We use a 3PL vendor to help us with all of our logistics and shipping. So we don't have a warehouse anymore. We don't do shipping. We did, but we don't anymore. And that's another story around where we started on shipping. And then also we actually use a team in the Philippines as a low-cost team for operational support and customer service support as well. So that's a bit of a mixed bag of multiple areas, a mixture of Permi team, freelancers when required, and outsourced work.
I think that's such, I know it's a very complicated setup to many, but that seems like such an obvious way to do things as well. And I think it comes back to what you were saying about the need to know where your ROI is at all times, creating that flexibility and automating wherever possible. And I think sometimes people get obsessed with that purely being about finding the right piece of tech, but it's also about finding the right teams. Sometimes, you know, like getting your customer service and ops being dealt with by the team in the Philippines is a form of automation in some ways, I would argue.
Yeah. And I think you've got to look at where you can do something and for the lowest cost possible and within retail. Like we're all fighting over, you know, the tiniest margins. So I think when you look at your business, if I can get the same level of service for half the price in another country, then why not do it? Right. And I think you've got to work out which ones you want to put in a different location versus what you want to do in the UK or whichever region you're part of. But I think that's the game that I'm playing at the moment. We've mature enough now that we're sort of trying to move into that sort of, we're no longer a startup. We're in that sort of scale up phase. But now it's about being really efficient, continuing to grow, but doing it in a very clever way.
And you mentioned about how the products were about helping customers, making it easy for them to make those sustainable switches, those changes within their mark, you know, within their purchasing behavior. Have you found, we had a eco-cleaning product business on the podcast a couple of years ago called Grove Collaborative, and their head of marketing was saying it's all about being helpful to the customer. We're going after those who already know they want to switch, but we want to make it as easy as possible for them to switch. It's all about helping them. It's all about guiding them through the process, even though we're going out after those who are already kind of mindset switched already. Is that your approach? Is it about being helpful to the customer? Is it about going after people who already want to switch? Or are you trying to convince people to make the switch?
When we first started in 2018, the idea of a bamboo toothbrush was really foreign to people, right? And so it's quite funny when you reflect on it now. You know, in the beginning, it was educating us to how you could be more eco-friendly. You know, and we initially we had a product, for example, like beeswax wraps. And people like trying to tell people why it was a good product and how it was better than, you know, the plastic versions that were out there. But I'd say over time, I think everyone started to realize that, you know, we all have a role to play, and the education has started to happen. So I think that's evolved from when we started, you know, reusable cups to take your coffee to work, you know, better choices when you buy something for your kid to take to school. You know, all of those things have started to happen. And now we're in a mode about almost, it's about brand. For me, it's about variety of choices, it's about look and feel, and it's about why we're out there, right? And so there are a lot of other people also doing Ecolux. I'd say eco rather than Ecolux. And we want to just be in that niche space where people like what we sell, they want it in their house, it's a good option, and it's priced competitively. We aren't trying to be, we could make our products more expensive. That's a very honest statement to make, but we want people to make the choice. We want people to be able to consume this rather than pretend we're ultimate luxury brand that only a small selection of people can buy.
Excellent. Now, you mentioned, Warren, in passing that you're using affiliate software. I feel like with the degradation of the ad platform's algorithms, that affiliates is becoming an increasingly important channel for customer acquisition these days. Is that your take on affiliates? Are you seeing it as a channel that works for you?
It's actually a really small proportion of our sales. I would say affiliates are less than 5% of my overall revenue. So I think it's very good for branding. We have some really nice partnerships and collaborations that we do with affiliates. But really for me, my primary advantage with it is the brand that it helps us achieve, getting us in front of other people. I wouldn't really see it as my primary angle for revenue, right? If I want revenue, then it's easier to probably attack an Amazon marketplace or a platform like that, or focus on Google Shopping, where you can see an instant reward versus the return of what you're doing versus sort of affiliates or brand marketing.
I find it so fascinating you say affiliates for branding purposes, because 20 years ago, or 10 years ago, affiliates was like the nitty-gritty sales thing and all about voucher codes. And it's so cool the way in which that has evolved in years, that now it can be seen as actually this is a way to get content creators to talk about us and to incentivize them to do that, which is so kind of starts really working well for everybody, I think. You mentioned that, you know, if you're going to drive sales, you're going to hit the Amazon marketplace hard or some of the ad channels. Do you, and this is, you can answer however you like, Warren, I'm not fishing for a specific answer here, but do you find, or have you cracked that mystical idea of turning Amazon customers into website customers? Or do you not care about that part of the, you know, the customer switch? Is an Amazon customer forever? What's your take on it?
So I'd say Amazon is something that I love and hate, right? I often say all roads lead to Amazon. It's very, very difficult to compete with the juggernaut that is Amazon, right? They have so much choice. They're shipping so efficient. And therefore, my view is that you should try not to swim against the stream that is Amazon and try and make things work with it and go with the juggernaut rather than try and compete against it. My opinion, you know, if you try to pull your traffic off Amazon and stick it into your own store, is that really going to work? The con of that is that you're just taking your sales velocity down on an Amazon platform where you then might rank higher and then might get more organic sales. So which is better? Yes, it's great that you own the customer and then you can resell to the customer. So that's the pro of having it direct. For me, it's about quantity of sales and ranking higher and being more efficient in marketing and therefore ending up with a better net profit position. So I lean on the Amazon front. You know, we don't put all of our products in Amazon. That's quite an interesting statement, right? So not everything works or everything. We don't want everything to go on Amazon. So that means that there's opportunity to bring people direct. And I give example, we make hampers, gift hampers, and we have gift cards and things that just don't fit on an Amazon store, but they'll be directly on our own platform. And so, you know, I'd say for me, pick Amazon as the primary because it's such an easy vehicle to get global reach, and then determine which ones make more sense for you to pull direct.
E-commerce Master Plan is supported by some of the greatest companies in the e-commerce sector. Here's a reminder of who they are.
Want to understand what the best in the business are doing with their digital marketing? Of course you do. Well, you're in luck. The results-obsessed team at Genie Goals have pulled together a complete guide to the most innovative, market-leading and impact-driving home and garden campaigns of the last 12 months. Want a copy of their Home Goals ebook? Want a copy of the Home Goals ebook for free without even having to fill in a form? Of course you do. Head to ecmp.info/homegoals to get it right now. Genie Goals and the experts they've collaborated with to create Home Goals have decades of strategic industry insight and technical skills for e-commerce success that you really should be dipping into. Get your copy now so you can start the year strong and compete with the best in the biz. Download the Home Goals ebook today via ecmp.info/homegoals. That's ecmp.info/homegoals, all one word. Have you yet downloaded our ebook? To celebrate reaching episode 500, we've created an epic e-commerce success-focused ebook for you, packed with 500 top tips about how to make your e-commerce store more profitable, featuring the advice of many, many past guests alongside industry experts and many of you as well, our listeners. I've checked every single tip and organize the whole thing into sections for you, making it super easy to dip in and dip out and take inspiration as and when you need it. This ebook needs to be sat on your desktop or even printed and sat on your desk. Download your free copy right now at ecmp.info/ebook. Get 2024's most valuable e-commerce ebook now, ecmp.info/ebook.
It's time for the top tips round.
Okay, I love this section because it gives me and our listeners some really quick ideas for taking our businesses to the next level. Warren, are you ready for the top tips?
I am indeed.
Okay, the book top tip. If everyone listening to this podcast agreed to take Friday off and read a book to make their business better, which book would you recommend?
So the good news is I take Fridays off, so hopefully this is achievable for people. I'm a golfer, so that's my plan. But the book I recommend is The E-Myth by Michael Gruber.
Oh, the classic.
It's a beautiful book. I won't tell the stories, but just how a founder has to deal with complexity and how you can think about it and put yourself into different positions. And so I'd recommend it's a great little read.
And the great man himself was once a guest on this podcast. So listeners, stay tuned. I will remember what number, or go and look up what number that episode is before we get to the end of the episode to let you know if you want to go and listen to that one. The traffic top tip. Which marketing method do you either prize above all others or think doesn't get the press it deserves?
So I'm probably going to be a bit controversial in the tip. I think everyone's business is very different. And I think my top tip is to start understanding your channels. Know the volume you get in, know the conversion you get in, know what I would call, which I'd love as a better figure, is the total ACOS to actually achieve the revenue that you want, right? Because it's so funny. I work with quite a few other different firms and everyone is so different. I've got clients that they make eBay work and I'm like, I can't make it work. I've got other clients that completely smash it on social media and they can do it. And I've got other clients that can't sell anything on social media. So the truth is that we're all going to be different. Find your niche and ensure that the niche works for you. If it works, keep scaling it. If it doesn't work, stop it. Go find another niche, right? And so the tip is understand your data, get better at it, do more of what works.
The ultimate marketing focus.
Exactly, exactly.
And I love that point you made about different companies being different. Because, you know, you can think of all the things to test in the world, but they're tests until you prove they work for you. Right, the tool top tip, maybe a collaboration tool, a social media plugin, a phone app, or just a way of working. Is there a cool little tool you use that makes you and your team more efficient from day to day?
So I think this is like my secret. So I'm going to tell you one tool. And if you, with Chloe's permission, if you reach out to me and say, Chloe said she can tell, I can tell you, then I'll tell you some more. But the one that I think our business would completely break if we didn't have, so this is a good tip, it's Inventory Planner, right? So it's a product by Sage, and it really helps us plan our stock levels. If you think about our complexity, we sell 100 tools. They come from 4 manufacturers. We sell them in 5 different warehouses across the globe. Every product has a different sales velocity, a different stock requirement. And so we spend a lot of our time and effort making sure that that inventory is correct. If you're out of stock, you don't sell. If you don't sell, you lose sales velocity. If you lose sales velocity, you got to spend more marketing. So it is literally a golden nugget on how to plan better. If you got one product, maybe not as required, but with us, when we have so many, it's literally the golden nugget in my business to make sure it works.
I love that recommendation because I do quite a lot of work with Inventory Planner. And listeners, I had no idea that Warren was going to name Inventory Planner then, but I can. I've been on so many webinars talking to people who use, like Warren does, Inventory Planner. I'm going to second that recommendation because they've done some, the case studies are crazy of what's possible with that tool in time saved, money saved, and all sorts of cool things. So love that. Warren, what to get other recommendations, what is it people need to message you? Because I think that was a very clever move too.
So look, if you reach out to me, I think on LinkedIn is probably the easiest way to get hold of me. If you reach out on LinkedIn and you just say maybe the episode number, then I'll know you've listened to the episode, and then I'll reply back with some more tips.
Love that. Guys, in the show notes, wherever you're listening, you'll be able to find out what the number of this episode is. It's in there down towards the bottom. And then you can LinkedIn message Warren to get more recommendations, as juicy as that one was. Right. Okay. Carbon top tip. We've got one top tip still to go. What's your favorite way to reduce the carbon footprint of an e-commerce store?
So look, this is a key thing for us at Wild & Stone. We are an eco company. That's our purpose and vision as a company, right? And so I believe in micro changes. So really look at your business and think about anything that you can do to make it more eco-friendly. And I'll give you an example. If any one of you have ever bought a Wild & Stone product, it often arrives in a brown box. And you might think, oh my goodness, why didn't these guys invest in more colorful, fun, and you know, high gloss packaging? But the reason being is that brown packaging is recyclable a lot easier than any other material. So we made a choice is to make the package look cool, make it look fun and friendly, but also make it really eco-friendly at the same time, right? So that's an example. Another thing is we make the packaging as small as possible without any additional cards and what I'd call fluff to make the packaging bigger, because the smaller the item, the less carbon footprint you're doing, the more you can store, the easier it is to ship. And so our recommendation is look at your business. We're all going to have different products and therefore different things you can do, but just try and be as eco-friendly in everything that you do and look for those little micro changes that if we all do and all compound on ourselves, we'll just make a massive difference to the world. Another example is we sea ship a lot of our products. So our products are made around the world and we pick sea shipping as a method. It makes it more complicated, but it is as it's a lot better than air freighting elements.
And a lot cheaper too.
Yep.
Always good when it helps both the bottom line and the planet, as so many sustainable moves do. Love those top tips, Warren. Thank you. Now, before we say goodbye, could you please make sure the listeners know how they can get hold of you and find out more about your business on the web and social media, please?
Perfect. Thank you. I think the easiest way is to find me on LinkedIn. If you search for Warren Jonas or Wild & Stone, you should see me pop up. And I'd love to connect with as many people as possible. So that's the easiest way to get hold of me.
Brilliant. And I believe you've got a special discount if someone wants to go and get themselves a bamboo toothbrush or some other Ecolux products.
That's definitely a good shout. We've decided to put a 15% discount code called MASTERPLAN15. So if you use that on the checkout, that'll activate a discount code for your product purchase and give you hopefully a discount that you will love on our products.
So there you go, guys. Head to the website. And then, Warren, you mentioned that you see behind the scenes of lots of other businesses because you do quite a lot of mentoring and coaching as well. So if someone's going, I need Warren's help, what is it you're helping people with? And how, tell us a bit about that and then how they can contact you about it.
So for me, when I left the corporate world, I was known as the sort of startup guy. I'd worked in M&A, I'd started my own businesses and people were coming to me for support. And so I'm a business coach and an executive mentor. So I really help founders really scale their businesses. And so I work one-on-one with founders and founding teams to just help them with their current issues and help guide them to their future states. I'm also part of the Burton Startup community as a mentor. I'm also a Techstars global mentor. So really looking at how to help people in that sort of one-on-one model. So yeah, you can find me on LinkedIn, as I said, and I'd love to help as many people as possible take their dreams and make them a reality.
Brilliant. Love that. Thank you so much, Warren. And thank you for coming on the show. It's been great catching up with you again and sharing some of your insights with the audience. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, it's lovely to be on the show. Thanks for inviting me.
Okay, so before I forget, the Michael Gerber episode is episode 89. So scroll way, way back if you want to get your hands on that one. Great to catch up with Warren again. It's so many good angles on what he was saying there. And I think the really key bit is, which I think came out throughout what he was talking about, is look at how you can make things more efficient, automate, and make the right decisions about which channels you are using. You can get your hands on our notes from this episode, including the top tips and links to what we've mentioned, by heading over to ecommercemasterplan.com. Or you can use our direct to episode short links. Just put ecmp.info/ the number of this episode into the URL bar, and you will go straight to the correct page of the website. So for that Michael Gerber episode, ecmp.info/089. Okay, when you get to the website, don't forget to add yourself to our email list, so you don't miss out on any of those other things we share to help you improve your business. And if you like this episode, then here are interviews with all our larger stores, all those doing over a million, at ecmp.info/big. Thank you so much for tuning in to this and every episode that you do of the E-commerce Master Plan podcast. I bring you a new interview every week because I want to inspire and help e-commerce business owners like you to succeed and thrive with your businesses, including progressing along the path to net zero. So if you know someone this show can help, spread the word. Tell them to listen to the E-commerce Master Plan podcast. I hope you have a great week, and don't forget to keep optimizing.
Thank you for listening to the E-commerce Master Plan podcast. Find out more at ecommercemasterplan.com/podcast.
It's time to download our 500 top tips to make your e-commerce business more profitable ebook. Go to ecmp.info/ebook now.